What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism. Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation. Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism. I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Space time, it's all just words in your mind trying to control you. Just a tether that keeps hugging you. And we try to snare this universe with dusty books and clumsy words. It's futile, but it's all we know to do. Just a fiction that we're wishing to be true. Just a figment of your shattered brain to separate the doer from the does. And to call it a pretend it isn't us. The name will cause the do to do what's happening. And for one of you just a symbol, or now we pin it to. And when you get that, then it will get you too. Yeah, when you get that, then it will get you too.
And that was Space and Time by Marduk, the sun god, one of my dear, dear friends. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. And my name is Tuke Edelo, and I've been hosting this show for a little over a year now. And if you've listened to it before, you know that I used to live on an anarcho-rural commune. And that was just Marduk, the sun god, is one of my dear, dear, dear friends. And while I was down there this past week, we recorded this interview. So we're gonna be playing a little bit of that interview. Here we go.
Recorded segment of what?
Here we go.
Hello, everyone in the future. This is going to be a pre-recorded segment of What Would Save the World. Currently, I am on the commune that I used to live on with my friend Marduk, and me and Marduk are going to talk a little bit about the whole healthcare thing going on. And it's very clear that people are not used to thinking outside of their private versus public really means the state little bubble of healthcare. And as you know, there's a lot of shit going on in the news, pre-existing health conditions and this and that and yada, yada, yada. But Marduk has a very interesting perspective. Marduk has a background in healthcare in some way. So why don't we just jump right into that? So why don't you just tell us a little bit about that, Marduk, or anything you want to start off with. Just go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Marduk, the sun god. And I can a little bit about myself. I am a former army medic and was trained and worked in an emergency room for multiple years, like 3.5 years, and did worked way above whatever I was licensed to do. Yeah, so that's where I'm coming from, sort of like practical, pragmatic, taking care of emergency needs.
And that's something you like see even in, like, if you just read stories about people who have health problems and different things, like, that a lot of people know more than their license actually allows them to do. Like, I know that, like, a lot of times, like, nurses know more. Do you feel like you were in that sort of range of people, like, that just kind of, like, could you, like, look at things and know right off the bat what it was after work? Like, how long did you work there?
I worked in Walter Reed Emergency Room for 3.5 years, and yeah, I worked a lot in the triage area, so I would take people's vital signs, get a general vibe and impression of, like, what's going on and how serious the situation is, and would talk to the nurse that assigned beds and could say this actually is a cardiac issue versus some healthy person saying that they are having chest pains, and distinguish between the two not only like taking statistics and like understanding like basic vital signs and things, but also just like getting a feel for the patient and interpreting like what level of distress they're in actually.
And that's what the nurse would do. But did you feel like you were able to do that a lot of the time, even though you're not licensed to do that?
Yeah, I mean, that was actually my job, and it was already above my skill set, because supposed to be, and in, like, the private sector, the people who are doing triage are registered nurses, and so I was already, like, working beyond my skill set, technically, even doing the job of taking vital signs and getting their past history and stuff.
And you were allowed to do this because it was the military?
Yeah, because it was the military specifically, and it's, like, yeah, it is the only sort of socialized healthcare you can get in the United States is through the military. Like, everybody has free healthcare in the military. And so, yeah, that is the...
I mean, unless you're a veteran and you just might not, because, oh, you fucking did a bunch of imperialist shit for us. Oh, thank you so much. Here's an American flag. We're going to bury you in the American flag. Oh, you got PTSD? We can't pay for therapy. We really can't. We really can't afford it. I'm just like, we just don't have the money right now. Like, Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely have experience with the veterans. That's a big reason why there is an enormous population of retired veterans around Washington, D.C., is because they are close to Army hospitals in which they can actually have health care. And so a lot of, like, the VA problems that are going on is because they're people who don't live in major cities or hubs around a base, and so therefore they don't have access to military hospitals. But yeah, we would regularly get retired military vets from the soldier's home in D.C., and we would see them just the same as people who are on active duty or like the dependents of people on active duty.
So the military is doing one thing kind of right, I guess, maybe. I don't know, right, left, I don't know, who the fuck knows anymore. Yes, but also, we were talking about, like, license privilege, and specifically, like, you had an experience with that, right? Where, like, in, like, the mainstream doctor's office's life, like, you had somebody, like, diagnose you with something that doctors had just glanced over, right? Like, you want to tell me about that?
Yeah, sure. About 3 or 4 years ago, I had testicular cancer, and I knew that it was testicular cancer before I went in, and went in first to a doctor who I described the symptoms to, said that I thought it was cancer, I'm pretty sure it's cancer, and I just need a referral for an ultrasound to get surgery, and the doctor had a giant hang up on the fact that I was polyamorous and have multiple partners, and they completely got absorbed in the story that obviously it was some sort of bacterial infection in my testicle and not like a tumor, which was very obviously a tumor, and I explained no infective process. And they went so far as to write on the doctor's history sheet that I complained of dysuria, which in renaming things as the symptoms you're describing. That's most of what doctors do, is take something, take your symptoms, and re-describe it back to you in Latin. Dysuria means painful urination, and I at no point said it hurt when I peed. And I got, but the thing is I got gaslighted. I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I don't want cancer. Sure, I'll take your antibiotics. Hopefully that's actually the case, and maybe I'm just unqualified to make, you know, informed decisions about my own health. And yeah, but it was total bunk. I had cancer, and like, I took the antibiotics, and I'm like, oh, I got duped. I had somebody fooled me. So I went back and specifically asked for a nurse practitioner, and within like 5 or 10 minutes got the referral I needed. And she was just really blown away by how little the doctor listened to me, because I could articulate my own, like, I can speak their language. And so that really sort of shocked her. And
I remember when you initially told me this, she like looked at it and was like, oh yeah, like she knew like right off the bat, right?
Yeah, it was, I mean, there was no question about that I had a tumor in my testicle. It was a tumor in my testicle. It wasn't some sort of swelling due to like some sort of bacterial infection, because I bone a lot of people.
Oh my God. Do you want to know something really funny? Do you want to know when I got herpes? When I was in a long-term monogamous relationship, and I've had herpes for like 2 years, and you know how many people have gotten it from me? Only one person, because they had like a major like skin problem they didn't tell me about. They didn't tell me that they had like a low immune system, and I told them everything. I was open with it, but everybody else, and so like multiple people, unprotected, nobody has gotten it from me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like the funniest thing about like people being like, oh, you're polyamorous, like you're gonna get a disease. It's like, no, actually, we're really, 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 really fucking careful, because if one person gets something, like everybody's gonna get something. It's like, I don't know. At some point on this show, I don't know when, I'm going to play some songs by Marduk. And there's one song, I call it Quits, that seems like it's about polyamory in like a lot of ways. Anyway, so let's move. I think I'm going to play that song right now. That's a really good song. It's really good. I wish I had waited a little longer to air this episode so I could play you the version of the song that I heard with like a violin when I was visiting the company. It's gorgeous. But this is a good one too. So we're just going to go right ahead and do this. This is called Let's Call It Quits, featuring The Ghoul Goes West. Here we go.
If we must give this a name, I say let's call it quits. 'Cause all these repeating patterns are making me sick. So if I give up on something, I know it better. If I give up myself, what would be the use? And if life is a train, and it's a carrying you, and all the joy and the pain, things you're all right on through, you better say.
let's get right back to our fucking interview. Here we go. Let's do this shit. Here we go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here we go.
A little bit. Let's talk about, like, so we've established now, which is an important thing to point out to our listeners. I know that healthcare is a very sensitive topic because it has to do with people's lives. People get very emotional about it, and you should get emotional about it, I think. I mean, you should do whatever you want, but I think that getting emotional about things isn't wrong, especially when it has to do with your fucking life. And, like, there's a lot of people right now who are sort of gambling with that, and there's a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot of gaslighting that goes on, like a lot of, like, oh, you're not smart enough to know your body, you're not smart enough to take care of your own health, you need to be reliant on these doctors. And, like, maybe under certain circumstances some people do, but I think that the solution to a lot of these problems is autonomy, and not just in healthcare and a lot of things, is as much autonomy as possible so they can't take the power from you. And, like, specifically with communes, there's a lot of, like, food autonomy where it's like, even if all the food stuff in the outside world kind of got fucked, a lot of people here would be able to survive because there's, like, that power there. Like, power comes from skill and knowledge that nobody can take from you. So I guess I'm just requesting that people really, in this show, listening to this show, consider that there's an alternative than the story you've been told your entire life and people for generations and generations. And you're
just 1 second. I gotta rant about something real quick. I just kind of heard about this fucking transgender ban on the military thing. And I just want to say, first of all, fuck the military, but I've had a lot of fucking people tell me that I'm crazy when I say that trans rights and things for trans people are getting worse in this country since Donald Trump has been president. I just want to say, like, fuck you. This shit is so fucking real. All right, let's get back to the episode. I'm sorry. I'm just fucking pissed. There you go.
Listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuke Edelow, and I'm here with Mardok, and we're discussing healthcare. So, now that I've gone on that little spiel there, trying to open your mind, open up your third eye. No, open up your fourth eye to feminism. Whoa, but not all women have fourth eyes. Oh, whoa. Anyway. So let's talk about, like, this false dichotomy between private and public. And, like, I think that public is synonymous with just, like, the state, which means it's not really public. But, like, I know you've definitely got some stuff to say about all this. So just go. Talk about whatever.
So, yeah, the debate that's happening right now in the sort of, I don't know, wiffle ball political arena of right versus left is, should we have single payer healthcare versus should we have private healthcare? And I would say, why is that the debate? Like, demonizing one side versus the other is still not going to get you your antibiotics without talking to somebody in a lab coat. And so much of, like, internal medicine is complete bullshit. It's guesswork and, like, prescribing medications. Like, there's a handful of medications that are really effective, especially in sort of emergency situations, and beta blockers, and I don't know. There's a handful of medicines that they do have in their bag, but most of what they have is a fucking saline solution and rehydrating people. Like, if there's...
And penicillin.
Yeah, and penicillin and derivatives thereof and, the antibiotics. And that's what they play off of. They prey off of the fact that you have to go to this drug dealer. This particular drug dealer, the most expensive drug dealer or the state drug dealer, it doesn't matter which one it is, to get simple chemical ingredients. And most of it is actually, like, saline that helps out people. Saline, lactated ringers, whatever, like, sugar, whatever sort of electrolyte cocktail you want to put in water so that you can put it directly in people's veins versus going through that, going through the sort of digestive system, which if you're having, like, chronic viral gastroenteritis, which is what would be described, is actually a non-bacterial viral event in which you have inflammation and irritation in your intestines so that you're vomiting or shitting and you can't actually hold down water. At a certain point, your electrolyte balance gets so far off that you can't actually take in water orally. And so therefore, you have to have it IV, and IV water is pretty much the biggest thing they're peddling. Like, the first thing they'll do when you go into an emergency room Put an IV on you and then give you some fluid, because everybody on the planet pretty much is walking around 1 or 2 liters dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And that will instantly make you feel better, regardless of, like, what's going on.
Yeah, regardless of what's going on, hydration couldn't really hurt.
Hydration. I mean, there are very few instances, and you have to have sort of really... Yeah, you have to have serious pulmonary or cardiac issues in which you can overhydrate, or the necessity of, like, retaining water is, like, you're trying to get rid of water versus putting it in. But, yeah, that's sort of outside of the scope. So, like, killing somebody with IV fluid, a normal, healthy person, virtually impossible. And because I was in medic school and we trained giving IVs on each other, and worked at a hospital, I would take IV bags home. And if I was partying late one night, drank a bunch, I would put an IV in myself, give myself 2 liters of fluid, and then go and do a 2-hour workout routine. Because I could.
What I want to clarify is, because you were talking about like inflammation and stuff, and automatically I thought to myself, I was like, oh, well, you know, ginger is an anti-inflammatory. When I have a sore throat, I drink ginger. And that is good, but I don't feel like, and something I want to point out, is we're not necessarily advocating like Eastern medicine, or like not your holistic, whatever. Although, I mean, I am advocating that could work also. I don't know what you think, but I'm more of like believing that like, but just like a lot of these different kinds of medicines could work. Do you know, there's not like one winning version of medication in like healthcare.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of healthcare is like, I think, personal empowerment. Like, once you give that power away to whatever is external, then like the healing essence is not, I don't know. It's maybe not regenerating within you. I'm a big proponent of herbal stuff. I stand by yarrow.
What does yarrow do? I know nothing about yarrow.
Yarrow is an antibacterial. It's a coagulant. It was used on the battlefield for thousands of years. And so you put it either directly, if you have access to the herb, like as a poultice straight onto a cut, or you can put it on infected wounds, and it's better than bacitracin. Like, I've seen it effectively take away streaking staph infections.
Wow.
within hours, like within like less than 2 days, in which I and that was kind of a funny story. Like, I was exposed to that. I saw that wound, and with my like Western medicine background, I was like, you have to go get antibiotics. This is serious. Just now beyond the point of your body being able to heal itself. And it was this really amazing witchy woman, and she's like, no, just watch this. And she put yarrow tincture on it for like I think 3 times the first day, and then a couple times the second day. And by the second time, on the second day, it had already started reversing and like healing itself, and the bacterial infection went away. And so I've seen that as direct experience.
So I guess what we're like talking about is, people need to develop, don't need to do anything, but what would be helpful with this all this healthcare stuff is to figure out how to be autonomous with this. Like, I think that it would be great if there was easier access to people being able to get the education to administer IVs to themselves or their friends. And we were talking about this, like, friend care, like, fuck Obamacare, fuck Trump care, friend care.
Friend care, yeah.
Yeah, so have, like beyond first aid, like, workshops available, like, maybe more about herbal medicine available. And even, like, is penicillin even available over the counter? It's not. It's not, like, an over-the-counter medicine. It's not, like, easy to get, is it? Like, it's easy to get if you go to a doctor, but like if you can't afford to go to a doctor.
So the easiest access antibiotics that I've found is going through fish antibiotics, essentially antibiotics for fish tanks. And you can actually buy antibiotics for your fish tank that are the same as, I think you can get azithromycin and Augmentin.
And those are just like penicillin, yeah, or something? Those are basically
azithromycin is the sort of catch-all, heavier-duty thing. You'd get it for like any number of things, but like up to and including like single dose treatments for gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Whoa.
And they give it out for a lot of different things. And the thing is, like, the biggest resource and sort of the funniest thing that I get is people see these individuals in lab coats who had whatever GPA and whatever sort of...
You could have had any GPA, right?
What do you call a med school student that graduated with a C average?
A doctor.
A doctor. And very well could be your doctor. And so, but the thing is with, like, when there are specific algorithms that, like, doctors I've seen in the emergency room, it if it is outside of that at all, they look it up on fucking WebMD. That is what they're doing.
So you could look it up on WebMD.
You could look it up on WebMD.
So I'm starting to, but in my head, I'm very into, like, this is one of the weirdest, like, almost, like, I feel like almost like consumerist, but like anti-consumerist concepts. Like I love like thinking about like the CPR chart and thinking about like what other things could have CPR charts. Like one of my fantasies was to have like condom dispensers on every corner that just straight up have like descriptions of that, of how to have wear a condom and how to ask for consent. And like, but it's just like standard. Like it's something people just like grow up seeing, you know, you can see it in your head right now, the CPR chart, right?
Yeah.
That's in exactly like something like that. Like something that's just so standard. Like, oh, it's normal to ask for consent. Oh, somebody's choking, you give it CPR. Like that's just like super normal. Like I think about like, what if like, if it was easier.
Let me interject. You don't give CPR to people who are choking, but.
You don't give CPR to people who are choking? You get the mouth to mouth?
I mean, you would give them the Heimlich. It's essentially, yeah, first aid for choking. I don't know if you want me to go through the algorithm for it.
Wait, what do you mean?
I think this is kind of a derailment, but I was just pointing.
No, it's not really a derailment. It's important if that information is fucked up in my head.
Yeah, so, I mean, if somebody is choking and they're actually making the sign of choking, like grabbing their own throat, as long as they're like talking or saying anything, then you let them do their own thing. When you start the Heimlich maneuver or trying to clear the airway is when they actually can't talk.
Okay.
When there's no actual air passing, and then you'd grab on the diaphragm, underneath, so, and do the
that's
simple
the Heimlich.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and
not
then
part.
Start out with that and do the Heimlich until they actually fall all the way out or go unconscious, and then you would start the initial like trying to clear the airway and then start CPR, but you wouldn't start CPR.
Oh, you don't start CPR right off the bat. Okay, so I'm not crazy. It's a
You're
process.
Not crazy. It's
okay,
a process.
So I was like, what? I'm like, there's these charts. I'm like, what? I'm down with the whole like friend care shit, but I'm pretty sure that's like related to choking. Anyway, but now I'm like having this fantasy about like if it was with these fish penicillin or like amoxicillin or whatever, that they're like, it's like a standard thing where people know that they could like weigh themselves and depending on this, and they're like be able to calculate how much they should take for what or what on their own.
Yeah, I mean that's all available on the internet and like what.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like the access to information, it's there. Like it is currently with us. It's the access to the IV supplies, to the actual hardware of taking care of oneself, because the software is there. And so it's trying to figure out hacks. I mean, one hack, direct action. If you're in a doctor's office, they don't have cameras in there. Go through the drawers.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm gonna like play this and some like I'm gonna like put on if I'm not on a list already, I'm like going
You're
out
totally
like,
out of
oh,
this
I'm
call.
Totally out of this. Oh yeah, shit. Okay, my name is Belladonna. I'm the commune. No, now they're gonna have like other names for me and shit. Oh God, they know that I'm too ghetto that they already made me have my fucking legal name on Facebook. Oh my God. Let me just say real quick. If you have me on a list, I don't give a fuck about you. You're like the worst kind of person ever. Like I'm super not down with othering, but you're othered, you fucker who put me on a fucking list. I hope your children realize that you're stupid. Anyway, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. So we were talking about like friend care. So do you have anything else you want to say on like friend care before we move on to the next part?
Yeah, I mean, I think Friend Care is like, it's a nice name, and I think that it is a great way to look after one another and like help your friend empower themselves. Like setting with people that are having a panic attack instead of rushing them to the emergency room or calling 911 and getting the police involved. Just give them water a lot of the time. Give them water, give them comfort, say it's okay.
You're not having a panic attack. I had my first panic attack a couple years ago, and I thought I was having a heart attack, and I called 911, and I was like, I'm having a heart attack, please help me. And my friends were being like kind of mean, and they were like, calm down, you're not having a heart attack, just stop. They were being like really mean about it, and I was like, you guys, I'm gonna stop. And the fucking ambulance came, and the woman goes, I'm like, am I having, she goes, you're not having a heart attack. Before I even get on the thing. And they didn't even take me to the hospital. She's like, we're just going to take your vitals. We're not even going to charge you. You're having a panic attack. Don't smoke weed. And like now, and then I started to get like the feeling of a panic attack. Like I started to get it. I haven't gotten in a little bit, but I'd say in the city, I get it like about once a week. Like I'm going to have a panic attack. But I go like, I get water and I just go, you're not having a panic attack. You're not so you could be that person for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is like being supportive and trying to empower the individual. This is a complicated and convoluted subject, and there are multiple ways in which surgery and like basic like body mechanics and understandings of basic anatomy and physiology. All of this is within people's grasp, but like being that for someone else in a time of high stress is the most important thing. I was a medic, and I would show up on the scene in an ambulance in a uniform, and what I found out was most of the time, if I could just be calm and tell people what to do, they would fucking listen, and the situation would resolve itself, even if there's somebody dead, even if there's somebody dying imminently. Like, the situation is like, be calm and assertive and actually have some steps that are helpful, and then you can be helpful in the situation. If you're adding panic to the situation, it is the antithesis of that. And if you're the person that is going through the stress and you're panicking yourself, that's only exacerbating whatever symptoms or whatever sort of like mechanical body problems that are going on.
So listen, my right wing, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Americans. Take some charge. You want the ultimate privatization? That's that. Hey, lefty, want knowledge to the people? Power to the people. Can't y'all agree on that? Fucking be autonomous. Come on, guys. Come on, you got that individualist Ayn Rand shit, and you got that collective knowledge shit right there. Collective help each other. I think we've just been united. This is the United States of colonialism.
Well, God bless America and God bless the Caduceus of Hermes.
That's... What the fuck is that?
It's many things, but it's one of the symbols of the healthcare industry. Like,
oh, that like thing with the snake. And, like...
I mean, essentially, like American Medical Association or any of the doctors. That's a total fraternal order, and it's built on the occulting of esoteric information. It is a brotherhood. It's the new priest class. Are you sane or healthy? Are you unhealthy? Do you have mental disturbance? What do? Somebody in a lab coat has the diagnosis and prognosis, and all it is just a description of your symptoms in Latin. That is the power they have.
Let me talk to you in Latin and intimidate you because you don't speak that language. It's a dead language, just like you're going to be if you don't listen to me.
Exactly.
Holy shit, that's so fucking crazy. But, you know, isn't that used crazy? Like, it's a bad word. Oh, also, if you're listening to this episode and you like Radio Free Brooklyn, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/donate. You can help us out. We are Radio Free Brooklyn. We are the sound of Brooklyn, but also the sound of the commune today. But when I say the sound of Brooklyn, to me, what that means is the sound of, like, real, because that's something like I talk about a lot, is that people are like, oh, Brooklyn's so trendy. No. Before Brooklyn was trendy, it was real as fuck, because that's like nobody wanted to go to Brooklyn because it was real before y'all gentrified it, because it was real. Everybody was like, oh, I want to be in Manhattan where there's all these shining lights that can blind me from the reality. So New York, Brooklyn was real. So I'm bringing you a dose of reality straight from Radio Free Brooklyn. Donate to us or you could buy another Starbucks. All right, another Starbucks drink. And, you know, I don't know why you'd even be listening to us. I'm so nasty. All right, we're going to talk about more about healthcare. So here's one of my challenge questions for you. I don't even know if it's really a challenge for you, but for me, it's almost a challenge because I think a lot about I think a lot about like anti-capitalism, and a lot of ideas that I have about alternatives to the world would exist without money. Like, I'm like, oh, we don't need money to do that because fucking this is a this. And money doesn't actually represent anything. It just, people are like, when I talk about the gold standard, it's like, okay, what does gold even do? Yeah, it could be put in some electronics, but other than that, it's like kind of useless. Like, it's pretty, like maybe you can make a weapon out of it. Like, why are we keeping all this gold in basements of these creepy like reptilian banks? like what the fuck, right? We just have all this metal we could be using to make shit like in a basement representing money that doesn't represent anymore. It's so stupid. But what I want to know is, how do you think we could transition into a world like this, in a world of money? Who do you think could pay for like the materials for like a Beyond First Aid workshop, or like okay, how do we like quickly move into this kind of world within the capitalism that a lot of people are not willing to volunteer to drop? Because I feel like if we're going to have anarchism, it has to be voluntary, and a lot of people are not willing to drop capitalism, and that's what I've been realizing in the outside world, and it's been really making me sad.
Yeah, so I think as far as the materials go, I mean, I think anybody listening to the show is politically savvy enough to understand that the pharmaceutical corporations and the chemical companies are, especially in the United States, but even they're still making a profit in the rest of the world, in the rest of the socialized medicine world. They're still making fuckloads of money. But in the United States, the money is, exorbitantly charged. But the materials of making sterile saline solution and simple like tubing and IV catheters is not difficult to do, and that could be made at home, but at this point it's, I would say, direct action of like taking those things. Also, I don't know, the dark web. I mean, how else do you get things that are against the law? And I mean, as far as the money goes, like once the means of production are actually taken away from the people who are charging the exorbitant prices, it would take care of itself. I don't know. Like, money is
representative. People should learn how to make it themselves? Like, somebody who actually really cares about this, who has the money or has the means to get these materials, should start making them and giving them out for free? Like, what do you think?
I mean, essentially, they're virtually for free anyway. I mean, like, God only knows what you...
Let's take it from the office, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, take it from the office. I mean, that's what I did when I was working as a medic. I mean, and that was, like, very prolific in the socialized healthcare system that was the Army medical system or military system.
Come doctors and nurses who claim that you care and steal the materials, hide it in your hair, and give it back to the people so they can something, have a friend care. In the whole world, you will be saving. You're the only martyr. Fuck it. Anyway, okay, that makes sense. I actually know some scientists and shit. Should just get like radical scientists and doctors and shit to start like just fucking collecting over the years and teach people and give it out. Yeah, just give back the power back to the people in that way. But I also think it'd be cool if like we could. But see, that's the thing. Like, I would like it if there was like, didn't have to hide like available self-care workshops that were just not at any cost to anybody. And the problem with that is then, and they would publicly publicly fund that.
Well, and the thing is so this goes back to the licensure issue of you have to be state approved to offer medical advice. That's when I answered the phone in the emergency room, I could not give medical advice over the phone. I had to say, if you feel like this is an emergency, come to the emergency room, because the EMTB basic license that I have would have been in jeopardy. And so the thing is people who have and attain this level of knowledge feel obliged to not give medical advice outside of what is the sort of normie roots. And so therefore, like, it would happen.
Even if they would have gotten an A on their medical exam versus the doctor who might have gotten like a C.
Yeah, because I mean the sort of flow to the hospital scenario or the doctor's scenario is really like, I mean, I don't know, medical health insurance as far as the provider, insurance providers, it goes both ways. The doctor needs high levels of insurance because just in case they kill somebody and actually get caught, because doctors kill a lot of people and most of the time they don't get caught, but when they do, they have a huge insurance policy in which they roll out to protect their licensure and everything that they've accumulated thus far.
And they kill them accidentally usually.
Accidentally, on purpose, who knows? I mean, that's the thing, like... It's mad fucked up. I mean, the thing is, the number one killer in the United States, the statistics are bullshit, but what I've heard is actually properly prescribed medication taken as directed kills more people than anything else in the United States.
Yeah, I have a good friend that died from, like, pharmaceutical-triggered pneumonia. Yeah, it was on, like, some...
Which is a bacterial infection of the lungs. And, I mean, it could... Yeah.
He told the nurse he didn't feel good. She came back like an hour later and he was like dead.
Yeah. And that's so very common. I mean, I've saw all sorts of shit when I was working in the emergency room and like how people cover their asses to make sure that their license is covered at the end of the day and like manipulating charts and like rewriting charts and like hiding vials of medication that they accidentally overdosed somebody on.
Doctors ain't priests, motherfucker.
They're not.
But also, this is something that this is just like a thing. So we could probably start closing up within the next 10 minutes. I think that this made me think about like public, because I really want there to be like privately public. Does that make sense? Like where the state is not involved, where we as a as people who are not connected to this, like the state, can figure out how to like work outside of them. We talked about, you know, take the materials from the doctors and this and this and that. But like, what if like people who don't want to give up their money, who don't want to give up that as a reality, like, do you think that there's a way to like public funding that's consensed upon on a larger level, that's like actually consensed upon, and it's not just a couple people on the top saying, "Oh, people voted on this."
I don't know. Like, this is sort of like a spiritual cosmological question, I think, as far as the capital goes, which I'm fine with exploring. But I think the three things that are dooming humanity currently are the religion of money, the religion of the state, and the religion of religion. And those three things, without a chronic divorce, like an apophatic understanding that these things are automatically negative and you cannot work within any of that triune paradigm and actually have sensible, natural solutions come out. Because those are abstract ideas in which is created in the human mind and played out in the human mind exclusively. None of that exists in the material realm.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, you know, I agree with you for the most part. I mean, I do think that, like, in terms of, you said just religion, money, and the state. So I do think in some ways, like...
Well, it's religion, or dog.
I mean, yeah, so I guess religion would mean, like, yeah, purely believing those things. I guess they're just, like, some things in certain religions that I read about. I'm like, oh, I like that. I'm going to keep that. Think about that.
Well, for me, anything that you abstract away from what is actually in front of you. So, like, personal empowerment makes sense. But when you give value to an abstract thing, like remote value, like somehow an elected official represents you, or a priest is an intermediary between you and God, or the money is actually in between you and the physical stuff you want to interact with in the real world. Yeah. Those are all, like, middleman games. They're like shell games. They're con artistry at its fucking base. So without removing the con men, then I think it's an abdication of personal power, and that's what people have been programmed with for since birth. I mean, at least I was. I don't think anybody has not been, you know, listen to this expert opinion and don't believe yourself because you are worthless. You're the piece of shit that the world revolves around.
Yeah. There's a lot of faith and a lot of shit that's really fucking fucked up. And middle, I know you read about the middleman, and that's like when you get the messiah, and I don't like messiahs, and I think our entire society is built around that because of most of like a lot of the stories and movies are like the hero's journey, which is like pretty much the story of Jesus. And I have like essays and shit written about that. Maybe I'll post them up sometime on whatwouldsavetheworld.wordpress.com that I never use, but maybe I'll post it on there. You're also listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. This has gone on for a while and I'm very happy about it. It's going very well, but I got one more question about that. So like, yeah, you gotta give up one of those things, but like there's the process. Like, what's the process? You think part of the process is getting people to, you know, take these materials and like maybe move away from money and start to just make it themselves and just like look at what it is, like call a spade, but like these are these materials, this is what we can make it into.
You can use that cliche if you want. Call a spade a spade.
Call an IV an IV.
I call an IV bag, and like it's not hard to generate that. I think that the technology to sterilize and all of this is there. It's available. You can reclaim. Wait, I mean, you could take waste stream stuff and reclaim it.
But like, do you think that people are gonna?
I think it's a lot easier to like feel bad about yourself and your situation and have actual like medical issues going on and defer to the guy in the white lab coat.
But do you think that there are any kinds of like medical issues that would require like an expert, or do you think that like what would we do about surgeries and like major health problems?
So what I'm saying is not don't go to the doctor. If you feel like you need to go to the doctor, go to the fucking doctor, and they can help you out. They can also kill you by accident, and that's taking your own salvation and with fear and trembling. I mean, there's still reasons that I go to the doctor. And surgical is that. Like I said, I had cancer. I knew that I would use cannabis oil to treat it, but also I would team it up with surgery if it was easily removable through surgery. And like removing a testy, although they do it through the abdomen and not the obvious route, is a basic surgery. And so like, yeah, I went and I had surgery, and because I had the basic knowledge and the sort of conversational skills, I got whatever I wanted from the doctors. Because if you know how to talk to doctors, you get what you want. If you seem helpless in the situation and don't understand like the basic medical jargon, then you won't get what you want.
Shit, you gotta come on here another time and tell people how to talk to doctors. But how to talk to doctors and what would save the world? Not really. But then that leads us with the other question. In today's world, I hate to be like this like really negative Nancy person, but like I'm pretty fucking sure that a lot of people are not willing to give up the world that as it is. They're just not willing to, and it's really sad, and you make me really sad if you're listening and you're not willing to give it up. But you know, I'm not gonna hold you accountable for my emotions. Anyway, I guess my point is like, how the fuck do we pay for doctors, or how do we get doctors, how do we make this work for shit like that, for emergencies, for people who really need to get surgery? Like, how do we make that work with all this insurance shit?
So all this insurance shit, what is happening currently is if you want to have medical treatment, your primary care doctor is the fucking emergency room. You don't need an ID, and they can't turn you away.
Your primary care doctor?
Yeah, I mean, that's your easiest primary care doctor.
And the ER? Wait, who's the primary care doctor?
The ER. I mean, essentially getting simple stuff. If you're poor and don't actually have the licensure to be a civilian in the United States, the ER is the only place you can get treatment. And with that, I mean, treat it as such. Go in. I mean, the debt-based system is representative, and you know, 7 years, it gets wiped away. But, I mean, fuck your credit score. Fuck your credit score if you want health. Otherwise, you're playing into the system.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, unless you, I mean, that gets more complicated. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's the playing into the system, and then there's, like, yo, I got, like, 5 kids and all this shit. It gets so fucking complicated. I don't know what to do about all this. But,
I mean,
anyway.
I don't know what to tell police officers who think that their only way to feed their family is to break up other families.
Like, well, I think that...
You can flip over fucking rocks and still feed your family.
The one about that, the way I feel about the cops doing that, I feel there's a big difference between having to fucking being wanting to buy a house and being a cop. There's a big difference between those two things.
I mean, one feeds into the other, though. I don't really...
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is when... If you're not seeing the connection between the two, then you are part of the...
Oh, I see the connection.
You're feeding into the system.
Oh, I see the connection,
so
trust me. But I still think there's like... Okay. Okay, you've been here a long time, okay? Let's put it that way. I think there's a big difference between saying... See, if I bought property, I probably will buy quote-unquote property at some point in my life, but I will never call the police to protect it for me. I will never do things like that. Do you know what I mean? I would never fucking, like, fire a gun to kill someone to get off my property unless maybe they were trying to fucking kill somebody, like, on my property or, like, anywhere, trying to kill somebody that I knew or just somebody that I didn't
know. No, siege warfare is bullshit. You always lose sieges. If somebody's trying to come and take your shit... The castle always collapses.
If they want to take my shit, they can take my fucking shit.
I don't care.
I mean,
no one owns anything.
It's... Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, I don't care if you really take my shit. Like, oh, well, you want to come take my couch? Like, all right. Like, I'll get another fucking couch. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you don't have one. Like, here you go. I guess what I'm saying is there's a big difference between, like, not wanting to have to fucking live under an even more... So if you're going to live out there... You either have to squat, which a lot of people don't feel like they can actually do because they're afraid of being fucked with by the police, or they're afraid that something bad's going to happen to them, especially if they have kids or if they're an immigrant or something. So people either are going to have to rent, which is an incredibly, like it can be, like, really fucking, like, dehumanizing, do you know what I mean? Like, somebody, like, owns what you have and they can get the cops on you and shit. So I'm saying, for a lot of people, owning property is one of the most freeing things, one of the ways to be free.
A mortgage is called a mortgage because you can break it down and it is death grip. You don't own it. The bank owns it. Once you pay the mortgage, you do own it.
Who
pays the mortgage? No one pays the mortgage. It's a lifelong contractual obligation.
Some people
might be able to pay the mortgage, okay. But that is not the narrative that happens to most people. And, like, what happens at the end of your life? You get a reverse mortgage. So somehow you're trying to breathe life back into your death.
All right. Well, okay.
I mean, we can talk about things. All
that shit's fucked up, and you know I don't agree with it. I'm just saying, when people live out there, it's a different thing. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's like a different thing because they have to figure. They're trying to figure out how to make their lives better, and I can't, like, really, like, I'm saying. What I'm saying is, there's a difference between that and being a cop. They are linked. But there's a fucking difference. You tell me you own a house, I'm probably still gonna hang out with you depending on a lot of other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other factors are gonna matter way more than the fact that you own a house. You tell me you're a cop, the other factors, like, almost don't matter at all.
Agreed, and I'm not trying to, like, demonize or make an us versus them, because I live in a communal situation does not mean that there is an inside and outside world. I mean, that is still another false dichotomy.
That's how I felt living here.
Yeah, there's not the outside world versus what's happening in the community.
It's a very different thing that a lot of people aren't aware exists.
Yeah, it's a very different thing that people aren't aware that exists. I mean, check out communities if you want alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
Check out train hopping punks. Check out, like, whatever.
I mean, that's where I'm from, but I have to have like a level of empathy that certain people have no idea. And if I tell them, they're gonna not listen to me because they've been so conditioned and they're fucking scared. And, like, I don't know. And, like,
I mean, fear is Fear is what we're combating here.
But, I mean,
what would save the world? Empowerment and understanding that fear is an illusion and security is an illusion. And security is an illusion is the fucking truth of the matter. Like, anything can happen at any fucking moment. And if you're, like, sacrificing yourself for some illusion of security, then I don't know. I don't resonate with how you're living at a minute.
I don't resonate with how you're living. But also, can we just get a quick FTP? Fuck the police. No, just because like, when people say things like, oh, the cops could, they're like, oh, the cops need to take care of their families. If you're a cop for 10 years and you realize that it's bad, you could quit and get almost any other fucking job. Not any other job, but they will give you a good recommendation because they're the fucking police department. They're all powerful, and fuck them. We should fucking take them down.
Fraternal
but my point,
order of police.
Fraternal order
of doctors.
But my point is,
order of justices,
that's a bullshit argument. It's a bullshit argument that they couldn't get another job. That's
a bullshit argument.
Yeah, and also, if you're a cop and you're listening to this, which maybe you are to put me on a list, quit your fucking job. Quit your fucking job and do a fucking, like, there is a guy in New York who quit his job and, like, joined Occupy as a cop and was like that. I think his, like, name's, like, Ray Lewis or something. Expose the police department. Anyway.
Whistleblowers have a short life expectancy, but, you can at least die with a clean conscience and hopefully you believe reincarnation.
And if you don't believe in reincarnation, there's, like, another way you can kind of get reincarnated. You can get buried without a casket, and then you can become compost. And then you can grow into flowers, and your nutrients will be recycled, so you'll always be alive a little bit.
Well, if you're anywhere listening in Brooklyn, you are not going to be able to be buried without a casket, but you might as well get burned up.
You could just not get buried in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to do it. I mean, there's only a handful of states in which have, like, availability for, like, not...
All right, so we're going to cut that real short because I'm going to say a few things. Thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You've been listening to Marduk the Sun God from the Commune talk to me about healthcare and all this stuff. So this Friday, July 28th, starting at Tradesman Bar at 222 Bushwick Avenue, Queen of Moore, who's like a queer performance artist, is going to be doing a dance bar crawl. We're going to be dancing all over Williamsburg, and there's going to be different shows at every bar we go to. And finally, we're going to end at the Rosemont, which is at 63 Montrose Avenue. We're going to have a bunch of burlesque, and I'm going to be body painting people. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun, and you should really be there. And thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you ever want to be on the show, you can email me at took@radiofreebrooklyn.com. You can also tweet at me at 2, like the symbol, the number 2, KEDALOW. And yeah, so coming up next is going to be Brooklyn Bandstand with Tom Tenney. He's here right now. So that you're going to be listening to live music from New York and stuff. And also you can watch my web series that I just came out with called Wet Wednesdays. It's the sexiest anarcho pool party in existence, where I'm just gonna be like chilling in my bikini with that has one communist hammer and sickle and the other one has an anarcho A on it, and that's gonna I'm gonna Facebook live that every Wednesday before this show so that you can have a nice wet Wednesday. And we're gonna be talking about Sex in the City characters and how they compare to communist writers. Thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World again, and